We welcome you to New Beginnings. We're so thankful you're here. This is a special day. I want to tell you, the series that we're doing right now has just been... last year, it was for me, and it's still for me. But hopefully and prayerfully, you're receiving out of it the power of His rest. And we get to receive, and the position of believing is resting. And because of the finished works of Jesus. And we're in the latter part of this series, believe it or not. But really and truly, the next sermon in sequence is talking about the Sabbath and how that we have a living Sabbath because of Jesus. I'm so excited to share this with you. And it's really going to upset some Sabbath worshipers, but I'm excited about showing you life out of it. But I'll tell you what, Saturday morning, as is my custom, I got up early to spend time with the Lord. It was a great rest day for us yesterday. We don't always get those, but that was a sweet day. Thank you, beautiful blonde. I enjoyed you so much all day long. And the Saturday morning, I got up real early, spent time with the Lord, and enjoyed the Lord. And I'd been working, studying the sermon all week. He just whispered to me Saturday morning, "We're going to do something different Sunday." And I said, "Okay, praise the Lord. It's your day. Every day is your day. And I'm yours. What do you want, Lord?" And he just kind of real simply showed me. And his words, and this is kind of the title of it, is that this is a faith in action day. A faith in action day. You know what? We've been hearing it. We've been saying amen to it. You know, I've told you that our church is at a crossroads. We're either going to be a church that talks about it and says amen and go home, or we're going to be a church that says yes to it, to the Lord, and then we apply it, appropriate it, and we walk in it. And that's the church that we want to be. And I can speak that from our leadership, and it's from my heart, too, that we want to be the type of church where Jesus can do what He wants to do, say what He wants to say, and do what He wants to do, transform lives, save people, full salvation. And so this is what today's about. And I'm only going to use, those of you listening on podcast, I use a lot of scripture normally. I'm going to use about three today, which is rare for me. But I'm going to talk a lot of Bible today. I'm going to tell some stories today in the Bible, but it's going to be shorter. And then I'm going to say adios, amigos, to you, and we're going to practice it here. Not real conducive to over the airway, but I just encourage you to come be here live in living color sometime. And because it's real sweet. I want to tell you, just even last week, and this has been happening over the last few Sundays. I'm in a position to hear it probably more than other people, but last Sunday, for example, there was a number of people that arrived at church that were an emotional mess, their terms, and a physical mess. And the testimony, when you hear a testimony, you say amen to it, but when you hear a number of them saying the same things, but we say, the Holy Spirit sometimes has a theme. Isn't that interesting? I've never gotten over that. I still enjoy it so much. But that was just kind of a theme of what He was doing, and we had a number of people last week that said, "I arrived as an emotional, physical mess, and Jesus touched me to such a level that I was at sweet peace, and I wasn't in pain or physical agony when I left." Now, I want to tell you, that you can't put a pastor on that. You can't put a church name on that. That's called Jesus. And, we just give praise to the Lord for that. And, all those people had a choice to stay home. I'm so glad they came. Really and truly. Because there is a corporate anointing or way that the Lord manifests Himself corporately. It's so sweet. That's why He encourages us not to miss. So, the picture I have is that the Lord is going to move up and down the aisles, and He's going to touch people. Now, I want to tell you, see, I love them so much, I'm willing to jump out here on the high dive and say this kind of stuff because, you know what, I trust them. And you know what, if I strike out, you point to me. If it's a home run, you point to Jesus. But I want to tell you something that's real important at the onset of this meeting for you to have in your heart and your mind, how do you need to be touched by Jesus? Because this is not a game. This is the kingdom of God. And so in your heart and in your mind, you need to offer up to the Lord right now as I'm speaking the touch that you need from Him. Because I want to tell you something. He loves to touch us. He's alive and well, and this is His direction today. So, you know, we want Him to do what He wants to do and to say what He wants to say. And you're going to have opportunity during the ministry time toward the end to give praise to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, give a testimony to the Lord, maybe love on someone else as the Lord directs you. And it's not anything you have to do. You know, we always tell people, you just be at peace, you're free to respond, you're free not to. There's no condemnation here on that. It's just whatever the Lord is prompting, okay? And so this is Faith and Action Day. What a great day. I'm so excited. So on this day, we want to practice what we believe. It's a miracle day because Jesus is present. Jesus is our miracle. He is the supernatural, and He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our Savior, and He loves to love on us. You see, we have a great God because our great God is a great Father. And He's proved His love. You know, we're His sons and daughters. Now, I could get a couple dads up here. I could get James up here and say, you know, James, is there anything you wouldn't do for Haley? Is there anything you wouldn't do? Now, I don't have to ask that because I know already. You know what? He would climb any mountain, cross any stream, and do whatever he could do something for his daughter. You know why? Because he loves her. Okay? Now, so you're the sons and daughter of God. Now, if James, being a human, knows how to love on his daughter and is willing to sacrificially, how much more so would be our Heavenly Father that loves to love on us? He went to great extremes to love on you. It's sacrificial what He did to be able to love on you and for you to receive His love. I have a beautiful blonde right here. You know what? We're called the Bride of Christ. Isn't that great? I'm telling you, it's a great love term, love picture, but it's a reality. Now, I want to tell you, as the Bride of Christ, this beautiful blonde right here is my bride. Now, I want to tell you, I love her so much, I'd do anything for her. Okay? I love her so much, I prefer her. Okay? Selflessly, on a regular basis. All right? As a matter of fact, I would sacrifice for her. It's sacrificial love. And I want to tell you, our groom, Jesus Christ, has already done that for us. He sacrificed, great love action of sacrifice, in order for us to be in a position to receive His love in any kind of way we need, in whatever way we need. That's what He's done. That's our Lord. And so I so prefer my wife that, you know what? I put her before myself. I tell you, the Lord has you in mind. All right? I want to tell you, I said this at a wedding one time, and I didn't get an amen. I just got some grunts over it. But I was trying to express husband and wife, when you love one another, you prefer one another. I told him, I said, when she comes down and sits on the couch by me, I hand her the remote. And I say, I honor you. Now, I want to tell you, as a result, I probably watch more Hallmark movies than most men. Okay? But I want to tell you something. When it's done in love, I enjoy it. I tend to talk a little too much during the movies. That's a fact. And I've watched enough of them now that I kind of know the pattern, and so she gets aggravated when I tell her what's going to happen next. But let me tell you something. You know what? look, this is the way Jesus loves you. I want to tell you, he didn't do it for himself. The sacrifice on the cross, he went for you. In order to be in this position today, you receive him, you can receive all that he is. Psalm 2, verse 8. It's an amazing scripture. It says, ask of me, and I will give you. Now, I want to tell you, that's the kind of love we're talking about. Okay, so what do you want? What do you need today from the Lord? How do you need to be touched by the Lord today? Maybe financial. Maybe physical. Maybe emotional. It may be about a relationship. It may be a spiritual blockage in your life. Okay, and you need a touch from the Lord. I want to tell you, he paid the price for it. And so this is what love says. This is what he's saying. Ask of me, and I will give you. Now, in this scripture, he says, I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. Is there anything he won't give you? The uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. God says, ask and I will give. Does that sound like New Testament? Because it's all over New Testament. Ask and you shall receive. Finished works means our needs are provided for. Okay? Freely provided by grace. By faith appropriated. By faith received. It comes out like this, and it just really sounds good to me. Your provision, your answer from Jesus is by grace provided and by faith received. I want to tell you, that's good. That's another t-shirt sermon right there. By grace provided, by faith received. I hope you take that in. This is what his will is. It's for us to operate in this life with more than enough for us. You hear more than enough? That's his heart. For us to operate in whatever need. For us to operate, if it's peace, more peace than we can take in so that we have peace to bless others with. Are you listening? If it's financial, more financial than we need in order to be in a position to bless others with. That's Bible. Okay? Joy, love, whatever it is. Health, to have more than enough so that we can be a blessing to others with. Okay? This is for you individually because he died for you personally. And so he wants to bless you individually with the more than enough because that's what he is. He wants to bless our families. It's not just for you individually, it's for your family. Okay, it's for your marriage. If your marriage is a little dull right now, a little dry right now, he'll take the plain water of your marriage and he'll put new wine on it. That's what he does. He does that. More than you can take in. And all the marriages said, okay, I just want to make sure I'm in the right place. Hey, this works for our families. Look, what he did for you as an individual, he did for your family. What he did for your family and as an individual, he also did for our church. Now, I want to tell you, we need that. Okay? We need this. And he also did it for the world so that we could represent him to the world, so that we could be a blessing to the world. So we can receive the world as an inheritance for the Lord. I want to tell you about a picture in a picture. I found my granddaddy was, I got to spend quite a bit of time with him, and he was a pastor and preacher, and I used to go with him to the country churches to preach, and I had this little quart jar of water. It got me through those days because those were all-day meetings. They'd preach a while, didn't have a clock anywhere. They'd preach a while. It's when I was a little fella. And man, that quart jar of water got me by. Then they'd take a break and have lunch on the grounds. They'd come back, do some singing, and they'd do it again. But I want to tell you something. I really am thankful for godly heritage on both sides. But I want to tell you something. I got to missing a picture of him. I asked the folk. I need a picture of granddaddy. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't get any response, you know. And he was such an humble person that, you know, when a camera came out, he just kind of scooted away. Really. But here's the deal, is that we were going through pictures. I was sending some to my grandkids because they love to see an old picture if it's of me or their daddy when he was little. And then they get the picture and they say, Dad, what's this story? And the dad tells the story. You understand? Well, I'll tell you what. This is what I decided to do, is that I'm taking that picture of granddaddy and me, and I was a little fella. And I'm going to take a picture of a picture and send it, because a picture in a picture is a blessing too. We've got the technology to do that. Isn't that amazing? All right, let me show you a picture in a picture. Back when the Israelites were slaves, the Lord was setting them free. And part of the process of setting them free was the Passover. And the Passover had to do with this. They had to take a lamb, a young ram, and they had to butcher this ram. This ram had to die. Okay? And they took the blood, and they applied the blood on the doorpost. I mean, the top and on the sides. And you look at it, it forms a cross. Isn't that interesting? And so they applied the blood. And this was part of their salvation, because the Lord rescued them from death. Okay? It was also part of the process of rescuing them from slavery. Isn't that beautiful? And then they were to take the lamb. So they took the blood, applied the blood on the door, so the death angel would pass over them. Because everybody that didn't believe and that didn't apply the blood, their firstborn died. Okay? So you can picture this. I want to tell you. When you think about those open windows, and they're hearing cries, wailings, and moanings, and screaming throughout the whole land. But their firstborn, they've been saved because of the application of the blood. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus? That's a picture. I want to tell you more. You ready for more? The Lamb. Tell me who the Lamb is. Jesus is the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish, that washes away the sins of the world. Are you thankful for Jesus? Jesus is the Lamb. And so they took the Lamb by instruction from God. They took the Lamb to show you this is a picture of Jesus. They were instructed not to break the bones. That was prophecy. Jesus' bones were not broken. Prophecy. Picture. Jesus. And so they were to take the Lamb and they were to eat the Lamb. In the Passover feast that night, they were to eat the lamb. And so the next morning when they got up, it was time to go. It was a day of rescue. The Lord was setting them free. And as they're leaving Egypt, the Egyptians come out and give them silver and gold. I want to tell you, they had been slaves one day. They were wealthier than they've ever been in their life the next day. That's what happens when you come to Jesus. When you receive what the blood of Jesus has been done, and you receive the Lamb, Jesus Christ as the Lamb. Now, the picture in a picture is just what we did over here in communion this morning. I don't know why more believers don't want to practice communion, because I want to tell you, it's a blessing every time you practice remembering the Lord. Okay? Because it's application. It's appropriation. And you don't have to wait till Sunday to do it. But here's a picture of the bread. And Jesus put this in order. He said, this is a picture to remember me. You practice remembering me. And he said, this bread represents my body. Now I want to tell you, the lamb represents Jesus. Jesus was telling them, this represents me. Okay? And so he said, every time you do this, you practice remembering. When you say remember, practice, say receiving. Practice remembering, practice receiving what I've done. And so they were to take the bread. And this, the drink, was to represent the blood. Hey, don't you know that the families of Israel, as they were being delivered, don't you know they were thanking God for the blood of the Lamb? Hey, I want to tell you what else. When they were leaving, Egyptians were giving them gold and silver. They were loading up. Now, I want to tell you something else that you may not know. So, they were blessed with, they were rescued from death. Hey, they were gone from being a slave to being made rich. Okay? They were gone from being sick to healthy. Okay? We see it in the scripture. It's right here in, what scripture is it? Psalm 105:37. Look at this. He brought Israel forth also with silver and gold. Remember, I just told you that. This is the picture, and a picture is that communion presents Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, this is such a picture in a picture here. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes the morning they left. You know why? Because they ate the lamb. They received of Jesus, the picture of Jesus, and they ate the lamb. Because I want to tell you something. The night before, there were some feeble. You know, the old people. Hey, people working hard. It don't take me but a little mowing out here, and I make noises the next day. I want to tell you what happened on this day when they left. Not only were they rescued from death, somebody say salvation. They were blessed with wealth, somebody say salvation. And they were blessed with healing. Because people that got up that morning after eating the lamb, partaking by faith, receiving, following God's direction, there was no feebleness among them. You know what people were saying as they were traveling? I've never been this wealthy in my life. This is better than my dreams. You know what they were saying? I've never felt this well in my life. Huh? No stumbling. Okay? Weren't any canes on the journey. I'm not speaking anything, condemnation. I'm just saying, no walkers, no canes. Nobody having to be carried. I know you see in the movies made of it, people are carrying people. No. There was no feeble. Okay, I hope you're seeing this. And not only that, they had divine rescue at the Red Sea. Somebody say provision. God was showing them, I mean to tell you, in hours they saw more provision, more rescue, more health, more wealth, more protection from death, because He's God. And the whole picture of everything is about Jesus. Whatever they needed in the journey, God provided. You got it? Picture in a picture. That's what communion represents. Communion's a picture of Passover picture. Wow! Now, I want to tell you about Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight was a black Labrador retriever that we had on Hall's Hill when I was a kid. We had a lot of beagle dogs because we did rabbit hunting. And had squirrel dogs. You kept them separate. You didn't let the squirrel dogs mess with the rabbit dogs. Don't want them to catch anything. But I want to tell you, Captain Midnight was just a family dog. And he probably had the best personality of any dog we ever had on Hall's Hill, and we had bunches of them. He was an amazing little dog, big dog, actually. But one of the things he loved to do is that he loved to play tug-of-war. And he would bring you any rope that he found. He would bring you a rope or an old towel. He'd bring you an old towel, and he'd lay it down on your feet, and he'd challenge you. Tug-of-war. And he'd be excited about it. Let me tell you something about Captain Midnight. He never lost a tug of war. I want to tell you why. Because that dog would never let go. Never let go. I mean, if you didn't have your feet right, he'd pull you. And just enjoy it. But even if you were strong enough to pull him, he'd end up on his back and you pulling him across the yard and he'd never let go. Let me tell you something. Captain Midnight was always a champion, always a winner at the dog tug of war because of this. He'd never quit. He never let go. Now, I want to tell you, the Lord brought that to my mind because we are supposed to sink our teeth into the Word of God and hang on. Let me make an announcement to you. as daughters and sons of the living God, as the bride of Christ, let me say something to you. The game's not over till you win. Captain Midnight style. The battle's not over till you win. Starve your doubts and fears with the Word of God. We've tasted the promised land. I'm going to tell you, there's people here, we've tasted the promised land. Everything's already provided by Jesus. That's why we're to be a people of thanksgiving. Man, I'll tell you what, thanksgiving ought to just flow out of us. Faith, us saying yes and doing what God says. Obedience is just doing what He says. Jesus said, those that love me do what I say. We're calling it cooperative action, where you cooperate with what God wants by putting some action to it. And we've also studied how to resist the enemy until we see the victory manifested. We're to resist the enemy. But this is what I feel like the Lord was saying to me Saturday morning. Don't be satisfied with the taste. I mean, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, He's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And it's good to get a taste out of it and say, oh, that's good. That's where some of us are. We just got a taste of it. And God's saying, don't be satisfied with the taste. God desires for us to feast on the buffet. To possess. And to walk in it. And to live in it. Okay? This is not a rah-rah. This is what He wants. As a matter of fact, we need to be addicted to the ministry of Jesus. I love seeing Jesus be Jesus. I love to see Him minister to me. I love to see Him minister through me. I love to see Him love on other people through me. I love to be a part of what He's doing to bless other people. Is that a blast? I want to tell you, there's a verse in the King James, and it's 1 Corinthians 16:15, and it says, I beseech you, New Beginnings Fellowship. I'm telling you of a group of saints that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Because I want to tell you what, when the Lord ministers to you, it's a wow. Amen. And when the Lord ministers to someone else through you, it's double wow. And I want to tell you, don't just get a taste of Jesus. Get addicted to Him. And addicted to letting Jesus be Jesus through you to other people. Because it's about others. That's what He wants to do. God is doing great things His way to bring Himself honor and glory and harvest. And we get to be a part of it. I want to tell you, this is how serious I am. If I were God, a few of you have heard me say this, but I'm just going to say it because, I mean, if I were God, I wouldn't have chosen me. He did. And I'm so glad that He did, because I'm having a blast with it. Okay? But the Lord knew I was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Nor am I now the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know that. It's good for me to know that. Okay? You're looking at a guy that when he was a teenager in the church where I was attending, some told me that, you know, we were going to have this banquet and I want you to say a prayer in the banquet. I got so scared I tried not to go. I was so intimidated I tried not to go. And so what I finally did, because I was so scared and intimidated, I wrote down a couple lines for the prayer. And when he called on me, I took out my notes and I read it. Because I was stage fright. I'd get scared. Even when I was a little bit younger and I had attended church, the pastor's wife wanted me to memorize Psalm 100 and say it in front of the church. And I couldn't do it. I mean, she called on me. I'd get up. I'd practice and practice. I mean, for weeks I had it memorized. But when I'd get up in front of people, I couldn't say it. And they'd excuse me and kind of laugh, you know, and they'd give me another opportunity the next week. I couldn't do it. She got me up 3 times. I couldn't do it. Years later, when I started preaching and I went to preach at the church they were pastoring, she reminded me of it. And she said, well, I guess you're past Psalm 100. I said, don't call on me. Okay? Because, man, I was just intimidated and shy, and I just didn't want to do it. I'd freeze up. Well, I wouldn't have chosen me, but I'm glad he did, because then let me tell you what the Lord is like. If you look around here, you may say, well, there's stronger churches. There are. There's stronger individuals. There's stronger pastors. There's more gifted people. But wait a minute, wait a minute. We have a God who loves to take the weak, natural weak, like Tim, and put his super in it. And it becomes supernatural. That's why I love that song so much that y'all did this morning. Because it goes right along with, hey, if I'm trusting in his word and his works and trusting in his heart and his right now ability, I want to tell you something. He can do the impossible. God uses the weak to confound the wise. You're looking at it. I promise you it's true. And I got this from Brother Ravenhill when I was visiting with him in those years in the 80s. And he showed me, he taught me, that, you know, because he asked me what I thought about Samson. And I got to describing some things, and he said, you're wrong. I said, okay. He said, Samson wasn't, let me just tell it like this. Samson did not look like a Tim Heath. He wasn't a muscle guy. Do you want to give us a double bicep? Okay. Hey, he didn't look like a muscle guy. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, because that's not like the Lord. The Bible never says he was a big muscle guy.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, wow, I never thought about that. He said, this is it. God loves to use the weak to confound the wise. Okay? And he said, so let me tell you what Samson looked like. James, do you mind? Okay. Now look, no, I want to tell you. Okay, let me tell you something. He was not a big muscle. Now, James is a strong guy. Okay, but if you were picking a muscle magazine, you probably wouldn't pick him. Now, I would trade my body for his. And so I'm not trashing his body. But I want to give you a picture of Samson, because this is the way God is. This ought to give somebody here some hope. Samson was a skinny guy. Okay, I think he was skinny. I think he probably had to buy his clothes in the children's section. Okay, listen. No, I'm serious. The only thing big about Samson was his hair. Now, we think about the long hair, but my picture of him is that he had big hair, long and big around. So that when you saw it, thank you, James. Y'all give him a hand clap. But because he's like Samson. But, hey, I want to tell you something. But see, what it was Samson. When you saw him from a distance, you thought, that's a ugly woman. And when you got up close to him, you said, oh my goodness, that's an ugly man. Okay. What I'm trying to show you is that it wasn't big muscle, it was big God. Okay? And what made big God anointing him is that he had a covenant with God. Because I want to tell you, it wasn't because he was a goody-goody two-shoe, he was lustful. He had a lust problem. Okay? So here's a big hair on a small body. And I want to tell you something. The reason he was powerful is because the anointing of God would come upon him, not because he was goody-goody-two-shoe, but because God wanted to bring honor and glory to himself. God wanted to protect and redeem his nation against the enemy. And I'm here to tell you something. The anointing of God would come on him, and the strength of God, which that's why it was such a wow. Watch out for the ugly-looking woman. Because she's really a man, and he loves God. He got long hair, but he got a covenant with God. And I want to tell you something. That made a difference. And I want to tell you something. We have a covenant with God because of Jesus. Okay? And because of the covenant of God, no matter what our weakness is, when we surrender and submit to God, the anointing of God on us can do the impossible. God loves to do the impossible. And he will use us because of covenant. because of what Jesus. What about David? Here's David shows up to the battlefield, and he's too young. He's too inexperienced. The only weapon he's used is a slingshot. And he shows up, and he says, well, let's go kill the giant. They try to put the armor on him, and he's too little for it. He's so small. He's so skinny. He's so young. He's a boy. He's so young and inexperienced. Is anyone listening? He's so young and inexperienced that when he goes out in front of David, David is, in front of Goliath, Goliath's offended. He said, what have you done? I should be fighting the champion of Israel, and you send me out someone, it's not even a war dog. You didn't even send me a war dog. You've sent me a boy. What is this? He was offended by it because David was weak, young, inexperienced. But I want to tell you, God came on him. And he stood in the name of the Lord. And he spoke in the name of the Lord. And the Lord gave him victory. It only took one stone between the eyes there and the forehead. And I want to tell you, God was victorious. Okay? What about Gideon? Gideon is a scaredy cat. And he's hiding out from the enemy. He's down in a type of a ditch type thing, trying to beat out a little wheat to get something to eat, because what the Midianites would do is that they would wait. See, they were tormentors. Anybody being tormented? Anybody feel like you got a bag of money with holes in it? You just can't seem to get ahead? Let me tell you what would happen to the Israelites. The Midianites would wait till the harvest came. Y'all do the work. Y'all work hard and do all the work, get the harvest ready, and we'll come get it. And they would come in during harvest time, and they'd take all their harvest and leave. Did this for a number of years. Wait. I'm telling you, Gideon, he down in the kind of a ditch thing, trying to get some, so he can have some bread for his family. This is not a champion. Doesn't look like a warrior. Doesn't look like a champion. Doesn't look like anybody can even make provision. He's trying to scramble. He's surviving. Anybody been there? Well, I want to tell you, Jesus shows up in the Old Testament and speaks to him and calls him a mighty warrior. He said, who are you talking to? Wrong address. Because his testimony of Gideon, are you listening? He said, I am of the weakest tribe, and I'm of the weakest in my tribe. Now I want to tell you something. The Lord loves to use the weak, okay, to confound the wise. He loves to use the weak. He loves to use the remnant to show forth his might and his power. That ought to encourage somebody. See, I want to say it to you like this. Your weakness does not disqualify you. Jesus is your strength. Now, I fellowship with pastors, and I'm impressed with some of their talents and their giftings, especially those who can sing and preach. Okay, thank God we have James, because I can't do that. When I do it, it's like getting on the cross, okay? It's a tough thing. But look, something I do know is that your talents and giftings can be a weakness if they're not submitted and surrendered to the Lord. And you're not depending on the Lord more than your talent and your gifting. It can actually hinder what God wants to do. I've seen that. Look, the Lord told Gideon this. Because the Lord wants to be the major. He wants to be esteemed. He wants us to be minored, the disesteemed. And he told Gideon, because Gideon got an army together, and they're ready, seeking the Lord about what to do, and the Lord says, you got too many. He said, no, Lord, excuse me, we don't have enough. This is one of the greatest armies in the world, and we don't have enough. He said, no, you got too many. If you have victory with this many, you're going to look to yourself and not look to me. Is anybody listening? I want to tell you, hey, God loves the impossible. Are you ready today? God loves the impossible. What are you believing God for? And this is what he told him. Hey, you cut them down 300. This was the real 300 right here. This was the 300. Okay? And so they're ready to go to battle. And they say, okay, Gideon, where's our weapons? Well, here's what God has provided. We got this clay pot we're going to give you. And it got a flame inside of it. And then we got this ram's horn. Okay, well, where's our weapons? No. This is what God wants. No, wait. We can't go battle the greatest army in the world at this time with a clay pot and a candle and a ram's horn. What are we supposed to do? Go up and say, would you hold this for me while you beat them with the ram's horn? Wait, what are we going to do? Okay, are you listening? Because you may look around here today, or you may look at your situation at home, or you may look at your own life and say, my life or my family is too much of a mess for God to do something mighty. No, 1,000 times no, he's got you in mind. And so you look at this. Here they are, the mighty 300 that are depending on the Lord. And they take that clay pot and they break it. The light comes forth. Now I want to tell you, picture in a picture. Jesus said, don't hide the life of Jesus under a bush or a clay pot. Don't hide it. In order for Jesus to be and do what he wants to do in the world, the clay pot's got to be broken. Somebody say surrendered. Somebody say clothed in humility. I want somebody say broken before the Lord, where we're depending on the Lord. And we let the light of Jesus shine through. And then we have the shofar. And then, you know what it is? It's the shout of victory. It's the declaration of praise to the Lord. Okay? It's used. And I want to tell you, the Bible tells us that praise is warfare. And so, that was their weapons. Now, this team of 300. Clay pot, candle, and shofar, a horn. The Lord used the light coming forth, the declaration of praise, of victory, before the battle was even on. The Lord used it to bring confusion on the enemy, and it was one of the greatest victories of all history. Woo! You know what it ends up being? The guy's saying, where are our weapons? And you know what ends up God saying this to them in picture? You're the weapon. Look at me. You're the weapon of warfare. When we surrender and humble ourselves and we let the light of Jesus shine through and we give the shout of victory even before the battle, even during the battle, even after the battle, even when the battle don't look good, we give the shout of victory. I want to tell you, you're the weapon of warfare. Wow. With God on you. It's so exciting. Confusion came on the enemy. Look, I firmly believe our yes to his yes this morning will bring reality to all he wants to do at New Beginnings Fellowship. He's a big father. He's got a big heart, big love for us and others. Together, hey, we will accomplish everything the Lord has for us, and we're going to enjoy the journey and the process, because that spells Jesus. Whatever you need, he's the answer. Jesus has more answers than you got questions. He's got more provision than you have needs. He has more peace and more love than you have troubles. That is what Jesus looks like. Now, thank you so much for listening. We're going to say goodbye to the podcast. We've got some hands-on ministry to do.